Country Bob FM.
All right, giving away a prize. This is the Parrot Head Paradise Jimmy Buffett tribute prize for the Medina this Friday night. I believe you said Friday. That was correct.
Yes.
Friday night show. Today's Bob Almanac, Tuesday, January 7th, seventh day of the year, 1785. I bet you this guy, Jean-Pierre Blanchard, who I bet you he'd be amazed that now there's a tunnel under the English Channel.
Yeah.
Affectionately known as the Channel.
Right.
For people to drive under. He was the first one to complete the first crossing over the English Channel. Of course, people have been doing it on the water for years and years and years, even up to 1785. I think the Vikings did it when they conquered France, made the trip through there as they went over to England, then down. There was all kinds of stuff on the English Channel, but nobody had gone over it.
How wide is the English Channel?
At its narrowest, let's see. What is the narrowest point of the English Channel? I'm asking my phone.
Okay.
The narrowest point of the English Channel is the Strait of Dover. You've probably heard of that. You've heard the Great Cliffs, the White Cliffs of Dover.
Dover, right.
Also known as the Dover Strait. It's about 20 miles.
Well, what's the widest? I want to know how wide it is.
But if you're going to travel it, you're going to go the narrowest, aren't you?
Well, I suppose.
So who cares who cares what the widest is? This guy probably went the narrowest, Neil. Right?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously you want to know the widest. I'm not looking up the widest because that's not what we're looking up. He took a balloon over the English Channel. And it would only make sense that he would pick the narrowest part of the English Channel. Correct?
Not if he had any chutzpah.
Not if he had any plums, yeah. You're saying. Right. If he had the plums, he would have taken the widest part of the English Channel. Okay, yeah. All right. Here, phone. I'll do it.
I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
It's about
560
kilometers, 350 statute miles long.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done that.
And varies in width from 130 to 150 miles.
Does your phone, do you not talk to your phone, or do you not have voice commands?
That's NMI. No, at its widest to 21 miles. At its narrowest in the Straits of Dover. You were right.
1789, the first presidential election was held. A little different than we do it now.
Right.
People voted for electors, which they do now, technically. And we still have the Electoral College. But you would select the president and the vice president separately. Basically, the guy who came in first would be the president. The guy who came in second would be your vice president. They don't necessarily have to be same party or even like each other. Or have the same thoughts and policies. How crazy would that be?
Right.
Who was... just think if they would have done that now and, like, Trump wins, but it's Walls as vice president or vice versa. Harris and Vance.
Yeah. That would have been
unique. Meetings would have been interesting, very unique.
Yeah,
so 1789, sure, George Washington, first presidential election, 1896.
Her breakthrough cookbook was based on the science of nutrition and uniquely for its time featured precise measurements. Good judgment with experience has taught some to measure by sight, she wrote, but the majority need definite guides.
We're talking about Fanny Farmer.
Oh, nice.
And that's Jane Pauley telling us about Fanny Farmer. This date, 1896, Fanny Farmer publishes her first cookbook, the Boston Cooking School Cookbook. Now, not to be confused, because there was a chocolate and candy company called Fanny Farmer. That had no relationship to the person Fanny Farmer. They just took that name because of Fanny Farmer, and they spelled Fanny different. Fanny Farmer, the cookbook cooking guru, was I.E. Fanny Farmer, the chocolate and candy company, was Y at the end. Fanny with a Y.
Got it.
And there was Fanny Mae. That was a chocolate company out of Chicago, too. So it can be kind of confusing.
Very.
Certainly here. But Fanny Farmer, modern, really first modern cookbook that would basically she kind of made these things, and then she would put exact amount of ingredients, like a teaspoon, tablespoon, how many cups, that kind of thing.
Sure.
That hadn't been done much up to that point. And that's good.
That is good. Somebody had to do it.
You hear this song, and it's, you know, you automatically think of basketball, but really it wasn't associated with the Globetrotters until the 1950s. This song was composed in 1925, Sweet Georgia Brown. This is the version from 1949 by Brother Bones and His Shadows. And the reason we're playing this is because today is the day that the legendary Harlem Globetrotters played their first ever game in Hinckley, Illinois.
They've racked up quite a few W's.
Not many L's.
Not many.
There are a few, but not many.
Yeah, early on, they actually played competitive games.
Well, they played NBA teams.
Yes.
I think George Mikan single-handedly beat them one time. That's 1927. 1958 here this day.
And a good friend of mine, Reed Farrell, he called me up and he said, "Hey, man, you know me. I'm a Telecaster guy, but I think I found one of those guitars with the fat pickups that you wanted." Well, it was a 1958 Flying V. And that started the love affair with the Gibson humbucking pickup. And
so that is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top talking about the Flying V guitar, which was patented. It's our patent of the day. Gibson Guitars receiving the patent for their Flying V. Jimi Hendrix played it a bit. The guy from T-Rex, Dave Davies of the Kinks, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, although he's not playing a Flying V in the videos for Legs or Sharp Dressed Man. Because I was thinking, I don't remember it being a Flying V. When they're doing the Legs and they're out like at a gas station and they do the spinorama with their guitars in the video, I go, I don't remember that being a Flying V, and I went and watched the video, and it wasn't. But he was fond of it, and it was 1958, the first one. How about 79?
Let me, who's got the T-shirt on? Where is it? Over here? All right. Victor, Glenn, Felipe, Randy, Alexander, David, they are all here. They're going to do four songs. Here's the first one. This is Village People.
Village People on American Bandstand. They did four songs. I didn't even know Village People had four songs. There's Macho Man, In the Navy, YMCA. Obviously, they had albums, so they had more. But so what's significant about this? Village People, they show up, American Bandstand, first time ever. And this was the first time ever the whole dance was done. This was the debut of the YMCA dance.
You know, you know, sure.
Where they,
oh, yes.
they spell out the YMCA if you've been to any kind of a wedding or anything. They didn't play that at the wedding I was at. They didn't. I don't think they did that at the wedding I was at. But they're too hip.
Yeah.
So the crowd's doing it. The Village People are doing it. American
Dick
Bandstand.
Clark doing it.
You know what? You know, he had rotator cuff issues in 79. I don't know if you remember
that.
He could not lift his arms high enough to do the Y, so he just backed out of it. He did. 1979 YMCA dance made its debut. 86, we heard this for the first time.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. And when many adults get a cough, they play doctor at home. They treat their cough with the same medicine they originally bought for their children.
How many people have used that line now?
A lot.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. That's Peter Bergman, who was on a number of soap operas, and I think he played a doctor on General Hospital. So that's how he got that gig, promoting Vicks Formula 44. You had your 44, you had your 44D. Do you remember there being a Vicks 44M?
I do not.
There was a Vicks 44M.
What was that for?
It was for a combination.
Okay.
When you combine all the other symptoms, it covered pretty much everything.
Right.
Didn't that stuff have a high alcohol content?
I think so.
Peter Bergman, after a couple of times, after a couple of outtakes. A couple of outtakes.
He smashed.
He wasn't performing surgery on anybody at that point, but he was totally uncongested, though, Neil. So uncongested.
Yeah. He liked it over ice.
He actually lost part of his trachea. He was so uncongested. So that was 1986. We heard that line in commercials. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
On offense, defense, and special teams, Bronco Nagurski punished everyone in his path. End zone to end zone, sideline to sideline.
One of the great football players and athletes ever, especially in the 20th century. Bronco with a K. They often mispronounce it and misspell it. Bronco, you don't mispronounce it. Obviously, you misspell it. Bronco Nagurski, born in Rainy River, moved to International Falls. He transferred his, you don't hear about this too often, he transferred his senior year to Bemidji High School to try and help his chances of getting a scholarship to college. Ended up going to the University of Minnesota, but he couldn't play at Bemidji because of the transfer rules of the day. Minnesota State High School League said, no, I don't think it was the State High School League at that time. They said, no, you can't transfer. You can't play the sport you're playing for. So he went and played basketball. He was a great athlete. And he dominated in basketball. Went to the U, then went to Chicago. And was a great Chicago Bear under Papa Halas.
Sure.
As you know.
Hall of Famer.
And so Bronco Nagurski passed away on this date at the age of 81. He actually retired in 1937 because Papa Bear would not give him a raise. So he went and did professional wrestling full time. He had been wrestling during his football career.
Right.
Professional wrestling. Won several titles and held the belt many, many, many times, probably in the NWA. This was pre-AWA days. And but then because of the war, Papa Bear begged him to come back. But he had gained weight and he wasn't as fast, so he played line. Put him on the offensive line. He still dominated.
Quite an athlete.
And that is why International Falls High School. That's why they are the Broncos.
Broncos, yeah.
Because of Bronco Nagurski. We're going to move up here to 1999.
It was a ceremony no living American has seen until now. As the Constitution dictates, they came to tell the Senate they had accused the president of high crimes and misdemeanors and to argue he be removed from office.
Today, the president's lawyers did what they could to influence the shape of the trial.
President Clinton's impeachment trial, he lied under oath. Which politicians lie all the time, and we pretty much accept it. So, yeah, he's just a politician. Of course he's not telling the truth. But if it's under oath, then there's going to be some issues. Then there's a problem.
Yeah. He was acquitted, but it was quite the news story.
It was.
A spell.
And the whole thing was, and then I think it was at the same date that Monica Lewinsky totally denied having an affair, and that's where they went through the whole thing. Well, what is an affair? What does the word is? What is the word is? What is it? They're trying to come up with definitions for other words, how things were said. It was pretty crazy. 1999.
Go, go, go.
You know this one, Neil.
Go, go.
It's by your guy, 50 Cent.
We gonna party
like it's your birthday. Yeah, this song is now 22 years old. By 50 Cent. In the Club, Neil. Can you believe it's that old?
In the Club. No. That boggles my mind, Jim.
And is that the first ever rap song or song from 2003 that references a young lady as a shorty? Or a shoddy, as they say. Any idea? Maybe?
Time? I'm not sure. You'd have to play a little more of that for me to really recognize it.
Well, we can't because it's. I don't know if that's the clean version.
Don't.
It's not. I don't know if it's the clean version or not. I didn't want to go any further.
Well, yeah, we better not risk it.
No birthdays. He's on the Mount Rushmore of yacht rock. Kenny Loggins. You know what helps with a yacht rock song is if you have Michael McDonald singing back up. Here he is.
That's a pretty good idea.
Kenny Loggins. Then he got into all the movies, the Footloose, the Top Gun, and everything.
He is Caddyshack. Related to Dave Loggins.
Yes,
isn't he?
Yes, they are related. Like the Police Come to Boston. The Police Come to Boston. Dave Loggins. Yes.
Yes.
Kenny Loggins today is 77.
Party favors, you can put them right there.
Where do I put this, babe?
Babe? Thank you, Tweaky. I'll take that as a compliment. Mm-hmm. You can leave it right there. That way when Buck comes in, it'll be the first thing he sees.
The lovely Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th century with the little robot Twiggy, or Tweaky. Erin Gray, they always put her in these tight spandex outfits. I don't know what they were going for there.
Right.
And it was for Buck Rogers' birthday, which at that point he had to be about 530 years old.
I would think so.
At least. That's a lot of candle. That's a big cake that Twiggy was pushing into the room there for Aaron Gray to take a look at 75.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I.
The lead singer of the Fabulous Thunderbirds, Kim Wilson.
It's good.
I don't get that tough enough. Ain't that tough enough.
Looking for a flying V in the. I don't see that in this video either.
That's a great song.
Oh, it is very good. Kim Wilson, 74.
I just bought that car.
You all right?
Yeah. First it's a damn landmine, now it's a flying water heater. What next?
Next, we catch a killer.
David Caruso, who was always ready with a one-liner on CSI Miami, and he always put his glasses on. He would give them, it was, almost became a bit, because people started making note of it and doing impressions of David Caruso. He was the redhead, Neil.
Yeah, oh, I know who he is.
From CSI Miami, NYPD Blue, and it's David Caruso. 69. Any relation to Robinson Caruso? And you know, any?
I would have to check the lineage there. I don't think so.
Katie Couric today.
God needs the devil. The Beatles needed the Rolling Stones. Even Diane Sawyer needed Katie Couric. Will you be my Katie Couric?
Neil, have you ever been somebody's Katie Couric?
I don't have the legs to swing that. No,
she's 68. Tonight, I'm looking for a David Lee Murphy's on our list today.
He's a good one.
67. He wrote some songs, too, for Kenny Chesney. You may have heard that Big Green Tractor song, Jason Aldean.
I'm familiar with it.
Yep. Wrote that one. This is Party Crowd. 67. This guy.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Nick Cage.
I was just on.
Nick Cage.
A week or so ago.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
I think it's time to give up hope for a third one. Because if they haven't done it, with all the other ones that they've redone, Beetlejuice, and they keep redoing movies, they just, maybe Nick Cage just keeps saying no.
Yeah, and, they did one and two.
I think the third one is going to be, I'm going to steal the North American Free Trade Agreement. Can you imagine what a great movie that would be?
Oh,
yeah, many people would say, you can have it.
I'm 15.
Nicolas Cage was 61. This guy is 60. And I never knew that Five for Fighting wasn't a group. It's actually a guy. Heard of the group?
I didn't know that
either. I thought it was a group. Five for Fighting. Hey, let's listen
to
some.
That's what I thought almost. Probably a five-man band.
That's actually the guy.
Oh.
John Andrasik, who is also known as Five for Fighting.
First name
hits
five,
there. Very
second
high,
name four.
Very nice voice. He's 60 today. One of the Avengers.
Hey, look at me. It's your fault. It's everyone's fault. Who cares? Are you up for this? Are you? Look, I just need to know because the city is flying. Okay, look, the city is flying. We're fighting an army of robots. And I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense.
Hawkeye.
It really doesn't.
Hawkeye has his bow and arrow. When he was the host of SNL during, I think it was after the first Avengers, they made fun of that, and it was a great skit. But that's Jeremy Renner. I love him in The Mayor of Kingstown. I don't know if that's a streaming show, so I know you don't have access to it, but it's on the Paramount Plus, and he's very good in that. He's 54.
Good actor.
Jeremy Renner.
Well, we're coming.
Got to mention that snowplow accident he was in. He was out of commission
for like two years.
He got run over
by a snowplow
with tracks.
Yeah.
Like going up in the mountains. John Rich of Big and Rich. Got started in Lone Star. As you know, Neil.
I do know.
And then he got hooked up with Big Kenny. And then 2 Foot Fred and some other folks. And they did their thing. John Rich is 51 today.
Gone, but not forgotten today. We're going to start with our former president of these United States. He was the vice president for Zachary Taylor. And then Zachary Taylor ate some bad cherries at a July 4th celebration and died a couple of days later. And then Millard Fillmore became our 13th president. He was born on this day, 1800.
Didn't they exhume Zachary Taylor's body and check to see if those cherries had been poisoned? I want to say that that did happen somewhat recently. They exhumed his remains to make sure that he wasn't poisoned, because that would change history.
That would change history. That would absolutely. So that was in 18, I think he died, Zachary Taylor died in 1850, and then Millard Fillmore took over. We have, Alan Napier. He was Alfred on the Batman television show in the mid-60s.
He was great.
Alfred, what's happened?
I'm afraid the Joker accidentally tripped the Batpost switch and mistook this for a secret passage, sir.
Then he's down in the Batcave.
He didn't quite make the Batcave, Master Robin.
Then where is he?
I believe he should be arriving presently.
Emergency Batpole Elevator. Fast thinking, Alfred.
Thank you, sir.
The Emergency Batpole Elevator. They had everything for anything, right? Everything, anything for everything, and everything for anything.
Yes.
They're at the stately Wayne Manor. Remember that episode? That's the one where the Joker infiltrated stately Wayne Manor.
Right.
But he was... He was outwitted by Alfred, who was smart.
Oh, very smart, and was a perfect, really, butler and caretaker of the dynamic duo. Alan Napier played that role, and he was born on this day, 1903. The guy that gave us the Addams Family was Charles Addams, who was our cartoonist, and he was born on this day in 1912. Emmy Award-winning actor Vincent Gardenia.
I'm getting married.
Again?
Yeah.
You did this what before it didn't work out?
That the guy died.
And what killed him?
He got hit by a bus.
No, bad luck. Your mother and I were married 52 years. Nobody died. You were married, what, 2 years? Somebody's dead. Don't get married again, Loretta. It don't work out for you.
From Moonstruck, okay, he was married to Olivia. That was Cher, yes. Yeah. Olivia Dukakis. Olympia Dukakis. Olympia Dukakis. He was married to her in the movie.
Okay. Fine character actor, Emmy Award winner. And Vincent Gardenia, born on this day, 1920. You remember the group Paul Revere and the Raiders? What about Paul Revere, 1938?
That was him on the organ and the keyboard. He was not the lead singer.
That was Mark Lindsay.
It sure was.
On this reservation. Good song. 1938 for Paul Revere. 1966, Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. She was the wife of John F. Kennedy Jr., who also perished in that plane mishap. They found him still strapped in their seats at the bottom of a lake. Sadly, 1966. And he was Screech. Dustin Diamond, you remember the actor.
Actually, you've helped me. You've made me realize that there are a million fish in the sea, and I'm just a worm to attract them.
Ha! He was Screech.
He was Screech. Sadly, he had carcinoma cancer, developed that, and died when he was only 44. Dustin Diamond, born on this day, 1977, Saved by the Bell, and the other things there. Gone. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
There goes my only possession.
The guy who gave us the original Statue of a Fool.
Goes my
and this one here, the country version of There Goes My Everything. Huge hit, Jack Green.
With a D on the end, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Slowly walking.
Yeah, so your staff Greeny. Missed out on him. I guess they were too distracted by Alfred from Batman.
It could have been.
Could have been. Jack Green, 1930. Now they're all...
gone, but not forgotten.
Okay, so what are we giving away, Neil? Well, I think of the...
Parrothead Paradise. It's okay. This Friday night. It's a Jimmy Buffett tribute show. Come out and see the show. See our friend Allie Gray, who's going to be with me on Friday morning. On the Bob Morning Show while Jim is gone. Then she'll be at the Medina Friday night with this program, the Parrothead Paradise. If you're a Buffett fan, it's good fun.
So this is a big prize, so we're going to go with a tougher question.
Okay, tougher.
Because I'm the only one in studio here. We've been tabled. So Nicolas Cage, 61 today.
Right.
We were speculating that the third American Treasure movie would be that he was going to steal this. I'm going to steal the
National Treasure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to steal the. What was it going to be? And if you can give me the acronym for it if you want.
Okay.
So if you just give me the acronym,
right,
that will be acceptable as well. So what is Nicolas Cage going to steal in the third American National Treasure, in the third National Treasure movie? 763-450-0100. 763-450-0100. Call now if you know. Good luck. Would you like to start a Bobathon with A Little Bit in Love, Patti Loveless, Alabama, if you're going to play in Texas, or Kiss This, Aaron Tippin?
I'm going to try Ladies First with Patti Loveless.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud, KDGY, Faribault, KL.